We thank you that you are with us here now by your Holy Spirit, and we pray you'll continue to really speak to our hearts. We pray for our dear Chinese and brothers and sisters who've just left us, and we pray the Spirit of God will lead and guide and direct them. And we thank you for those who've been joining them, and we thank you for this body of people in here. Lord, we look forward to when we can actually all be down in this room or this building where I am this morning and meet together soon, God willing. Now, meanwhile, we pray you'll bless and touch us with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been looking at the emotional life of our Lord, and I'm very much doing this from week to week. So what I tend to do is think, oh, I'll do that next Sunday. And when next Sunday comes, it's something else. And it's certainly true today. I was going to talk about the Lord's agape love, his heart. But, of course, today is Pentecost. And I was reminded during the week of what our Lord said in John 14. So I'm going to read part of John 14. In the main part is from verses 15 onwards. But I thought it would be good to read just a few verses before to remind us that he is the answerer of our prayers. So John chapter 14. And we'll begin at verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And notice that is unqualified promise. Whatever we ask actually in his name, he will do. You'll struggle with that, but it's actually what Jesus says, and it's actually what happens. And I've seen it many, many times in my life, and I need to believe him for the things that are on my heart at this present time, because it's always proved true. Now, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, one who stands by you, that is Parakletos, I'm called to stand next to you, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will not see me, and will see me no more, rather. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, who's otherwise known as Thaddeus, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Because this is the, don't forget, this is the night of the betrayal. Jesus was about to be betrayed and then flogged and crucified the following day. And that's what he told his disciples. Now, I was listening to the daily service, as I often do, quarter to 10, one day this week. I do urge you to listen to it if you're free. You may not have a long wave radio, though I did give one to Brenda. You still got that, Brenda? Yes. That's the easiest way of getting it in the way, I suppose. Robert's still a good long wave radio, but you can get it on the sideband on DAB and also on the internet, long wave radio for long wave. And it's generally very good. Seems to be the one bit of the BBC that hasn't been sullied by everything else the BBC has been sullied by. And there was a lady taking it, and it really spoke to me. And she said, "Are these?" She's worshipping the Ascended Lord. And she said of this passage, the bit that impresses me most is this, "I will not leave you as orphans." And she said about her little boy who was, maybe a few years ago that he was a little boy, I don't know. But she was saying that he had to go to bed, but he wanted to watch a program and see it through to the end. And she said, "No, I'm afraid you won't be able to do that. You will have to come off before it finishes, so that you can go to bed." But anyway, she got involved in doing things in the kitchen, and the time went by, and he saw the whole program. And he came in triumphantly to the kitchen. He'd seen it. And so she said, turning around, "Well, you see, I'm the best mummy in the world, aren't you? You can see that." He said, "No, you're not." So she said, "I wonder whose friend he was thinking of." And he said, "God is the best mummy in the world." And God is the best mummy and daddy, of course. I mean, sometimes he's likened to the lady gathering the chicks and, you know, the woman who's giving birth and so on, is the best. And Jesus gives a very specific promise here. "I will not leave you as orphans." Now, I tell you, this is very personal to me because I feel a bit like an orphan at times, particularly as I'm approaching coming to the opening up of everything. And I get quite panicky. I think I have my darling wife and we did everything together. I want an open home and hospitality and all that. I want to keep that going and increase it. But we did it together. That and other things as well really made me panic this past week. And I thought, the Lord already indicated to me, speak on these words, this passage. And I thought, well, I don't think I'm particularly worthy to speak on it. But God's graciously dealt with me, and I want to share it with you. The thing, of course, you see, this is all to do with the heart of the Lord that we were speaking about last week. God does not run an orphanage. Okay? We are his children. Now, when we emphasize the Holy Spirit, we often emphasize the power of the Spirit. And we did last year in our text. We're still holding on to that text. Wait for the promise of the Father. And that is specifically about the Holy Spirit empowering for revival. I mean, Those sorts of things are mentioned in these chapters, particularly where it says he will convict the world of sin when he comes, and righteousness and judgment. Obviously, that's to do with revival. But before we have that knowledge and experience of revival, which I believe God's going to send, we need to be sure of the Spirit's working in our own hearts, which is what he's talking about here. In this particular bit of John 14, 15, 16, and 17, he's not talking about the empowerment as such, although he's talking about prayer as well. He is talking about the presence rather than the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm going away. And you should be glad, believe it or not, I'm leaving you. They didn't feel like that at all. But they should have been. Jesus said, because the Holy Spirit's going to come. Another Paracletos, another comforter. I'm a comforter. I stand by you. Sometimes I prod you. Do you know that thing on the Bay of Tapestry of Harold comforting his troops? And it shows him with a lance, kind of prodding him, you know. It means strengthening, you see. Well, sometimes God gives us a prod, but the counselor, Paracletos, is one who is your advocate, one who stands by you. But not only that, he's in you as a believer. That's why Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. And then he doesn't simply say the Spirit will come. He says, I will come and my Father will come. You actually have, as a believer this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you have the Trinity living inside you. And that should give you the greatest hope and strength and consolation. Now, does it always? Well, it should do. Does it always? Or my experience this week is no. Last week, I should say. Because I had some definite arguments with Almighty God. But he's had to deal with me before this morning. Actually, I felt totally unfitted to come and share, talk to you this morning. But the Lord's dealt with me graciously. That's often the way I find, actually. Often it's the path, the greatest blessing, is when you've been fighting yourself, or fighting God, and he deals with you. And then you come agreeing with God and being at peace, you come and share the good news. Let me share the good news with you who feel grief this morning. God, the Lord Jesus says, I won't leave you as an orphan. I'll come to you through my Spirit. And he doesn't be there all the time. I can't be with you all the time. And sometimes they had to go looking for Jesus, didn't they? On earth, he couldn't be with them all the time. But the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. And in fact, he brings the presence of the Lord and the Father into our hearts, which is extraordinary. Because God's in heaven and he never leaves it. Jesus comes down here, but he went back. But through the Holy Spirit, all persons of the Trinity live within us. And I want to, and aside, we've all got our tales of woe, haven't we, really? And it's been hard for us all in different ways. I mean, this pandemic has definitely put my grief for Scylla on hold. And I'm sort of waking up to the awareness of all the things that are going to arise. And there's going to be loads of things doing, and I shan't have her with me. And some of you here this morning, you've had grief, bereavement, concerns about your parents and their health and so on. As I said, I think it's been great that people have really borne each other up through the WhatsApp ministry. I'm sure that will continue after the lockdown. And pray for one another. It's difficult to know how much to share sometimes, isn't it? I mean, you know, particularly when it's got a sort of wide constituency. But Lord has blessed that. And, you know, I'm looking at your faces. I have this screen. You know, I have a screen in front of me. I don't look at my computer. I should always be looking downwards. So, I mean, I see you, but I don't always flick over the screen. So I don't see, unless I make a point of doing that, I don't see everybody. I'll do it right now. I mean, just there. Are we all on the one screen now? Let's have a look. Maybe we are with a Chinese brothers and sisters gone. Okay, well. Well, let me just share that with you. I really don't want to, you know, I don't really sort of preach points really these days. God told me not to do that, but just to open up, let's just go through this passage. And but please, 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 jump in. Let me share something with you. I wondered if I really heard correctly, but I was checking out with Clive last night. I think I must have done. We have this couple, Sanjay and Sharon, share with us on Bible study. They're from Welling. And basically, Sharon is the one who speaks most, and Sanjay doesn't. But he said on, I'm sure you won't mind me repeating this, on Wednesday, I think I've got the word of testimony. So he thought, well, what's that? When I was in India, he was really involved with Tesco's, and they got a 24-acre site. Clive, you'll correct me if I'm wrong in my detail, my recollection. And that's the, obviously the main depot. And a small group of them thought they should pray for this, and they walked around it. I don't know how far they walked around all those 24 acres, but they went praying, and there were healings, all sorts of things. And they started a kind of Christian fellowship. I said, is this Tesco Christian fellowship in this country as well? Oh, yes, he said. I thought, right. So I thought, my goodness, let's try and check that out. It was just extraordinary. But it's so good that we can just share things. And as I say, some of us are more able to do it than others, but everyone ought to do it, even if it's hard for you, because it's such an encouragement to other people when you know how the Lord has shown his working through you. Okay. So he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's not a threat. You know, if you don't keep my, you don't love me, and so on. It's simply a statement. If you love the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit, and you will begin to live his way. I mean, you'll fail. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and all that stuff. But Jesus is simply saying that's what happens. The way to live the commandments isn't by doing. It's by the presence of the Spirit. Okay. And he'll give you this other helper, this other to be with you forever. And notice the world can't receive. Well, of course, it's meaningless, all this, to the world. I mean, they cannot understand what we say or about the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting that there are certain groups that call themselves Christians that cannot perceive of the Spirit anything other than as power rather than person. Of course, there's no doctrine of the Holy Spirit in Islam or in the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on. But the presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. To the cross. He shows you your sin, which is very painful. He takes you to the cross, and he shows you that Jesus died for your sins. And your burden falls back, and goes into the tomb, never to be seen again. Except sometimes we kind of dig it out and put it back. We shouldn't. Our conscience is cleansed, not only our sins, but our conscience. And he sends the Spirit, he's the Spirit of adoption. So he's not only the Spirit of new birth, but also of adoption. And that's very important, because in the culture of Paul, you had to be, in order to inherit, you had to be a child of the father, or the mother for that matter. You couldn't inherit. Under Roman law, anyone could inherit, who just was written into the will, but you couldn't do that in Paul, the law that Paul knew, Greek and Roman, and Jewish. So you have to become a child, and that's what you are. And you are, when you believe in Jesus, he sends the Spirit whereby you cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Abba means daddy. And if we are children, then we're heirs. But we have the first fruits right now. So this not being an orphan is I am with you. So when we feel bereft, we're not really in the place that God wants us to be, because we're not bereft. I am with you. I remember the story of a little boy who was scared at night, and he came down the stairs, and his mum said, "Don't worry, God's with you in that room." Anyway, reluctantly, he went back and he sort of peeped around the door and he said, "God," he said, "if you're in there, don't move, you'll scare me to death." Well, God is in there and he won't scare us to death. I find night times particularly difficult. There's a song by Christy Knuckles, some of you might know her, "Keep the Light On." And it's all about the fear of the dark. "But his word is a lamp to my feet, the light to my path." So just keep the light on. Not by pulling the switch, but by meditating on the word of God. Anyone know that song? I don't know if you do. She's a great singer. So here we are. So let's see. I won't leave you orphans. I'll come to you. And the Holy Spirit will come, whom the world can't receive. In that day, you will know I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Extraordinary. I am, you will know that I'm in the Father. Well, we know that, yeah. But you are in me, yeah, in Christ, and I in you. It's a bit like putting a sponge into the bath. Is the water in the sponge or the sponge in the water? And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. That's you. And that's me. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So Judas, you know, that's Thaddeus, said, "How will you manifest yourself and not to the world? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." That's very important, isn't it? That's why we study the word. That's why we do McShane or other methods of reading, and we keep it. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Well, that's pretty cozy, isn't it? He's come to live in us and make his home. You know, when people come, when they feel at home, they kind of modify it a bit and twist a few things around. We notice that. If you come to live with you, they love it, but they also make a few little changes, you know? And you think, oh, yes, I can see why they've done that. Well, the Lord makes some big changes. "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." That's true, isn't it? "And the word that you've heard is not mine, but the Father's." Then he goes on, "These things I've spoken while I'm still with you. With the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." Wow. That's amazing. But this is true now, isn't it? I mean, we've been studying the word together for years. But it's all the truth is in here. I mean, the only view of origins which fits science is in the Bible. Jesus rose from the dead, greatest fact of history, attested by more than 500 brethren at once. The word is truth, history, theology, geography, geology, anthropology, morality, spirituality, theology, and comfort. It's It's all in the Word, which the Holy Spirit makes real. And he'll bring things to remembrance. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. You know, it's interesting. After Jesus, that's a legacy. Jesus is going away, and he's giving a legacy. When people die, they have a legacy. They give a, leave legacies, and that legacy he's left us is peace. But of course, he's not dead. He rose again, but he still gives peace. So that's your sort of inheritance. Interesting, when he rose from the dead, he said the same thing. When he appeared, he was in peace. That book I've got on the agape in church history, which I've mentioned, says, why did they call this the weekly feast agape rather than an irene, a peace thing, because that's the word Jesus used. And he reckons it's because when Jesus cooked the breakfast by the Galilean lake, and he asked Peter, do you love me? That linked up agape with the food. He reckons that's the reason. But peace, Jesus always whispers peace. Peace, do you know that song, Peace, Perfect Peace? In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Now, do you always have it? Well, speaking personally, no. Should I always have it? Yes. Do I have to come before God to receive it? Yes. What was Scylla's text to me that I still have prominently placed in my library? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the heart of Jesus. Jesus is a man, but he's God. His feelings for you are expressed in this passage. And he's made a bequest in his will, peace for you. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Please don't do that, he says. Neither be afraid. Please don't do that. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away. I'll come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. And the Father's greater than I. Obviously not greater in being God, but greater. There's an order in the Trinity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now I've told you, before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. That was the next day, of course. But he's no claim on me, but I do as my Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So, whoa, they were going into a dreadful time, having had this amazing assurance. So I checked out the word orphan in the Greek, orphanos, and it means exactly what we mean by it. The fatherless, the parentless. And we're not. Because the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, comes to live inside us. And that's not the only work of the Spirit. That's why some people sort of are content with that. That's not, you know, we need the empowerment to witness, but we have to start and make sure we know the inward indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And for those of us passing through hard times, let me just reassure you, you're not an orphan, even though you might feel like one at times, because Jesus has said it all here. So let faith arise and take hold of the realities. Amen. Okay, anything you want to share on that? That's not a sermon, by the way. That's just thoughts, talking through the Bible.
Hi, Derek, it's Mike. I've often come back to this piece here where, you know, Jesus says that he's in the Father and I'm in you, and therefore the Father's in you.
Yeah.
And that, I find, contrasts quite, I was going to say starkly, but comfortably. Going the other way, it would be stark. Because we know that Jesus stands before the Father interceding for us.
Yeah.
And I find, from time to time, I find great comfort in that. But the image I have of that, if effectively, is the throne room of, the Father on the throne and Jesus. Well, I guess I always think of him standing before the Father, but he's probably sitting beside him. And, you know, saying things like, well, you know, here's Mike, he's one of yours. And I find that a great comfort. But what it does do in my thinking is it kind of puts a distance between me and God. And you come back to this, and it's completely intimate. And I think it's a wonderful balance. It's almost paradoxical. But it obviously isn't, because it both are true. But I find it amazing to come back to this.
And is the word.
Indeed. But like military intelligence.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. That's both are true. Jesus prayed that way, though, didn't he? I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So he had the intimacy, but he worshipped his Father here on earth, as he does in heaven. Yeah, thank you. Great. How can we know this more and more? I mean, if we'd been there and we'd heard Jesus, would we be so over the moon that we would never lapse again in our faith? Or do you think we might? And if so, why?
I think we probably would.
What happened to the disciples? Subsequently.
I mean, they all they said they'd stay with him, but they didn't.
Yes, precisely. Yes.
And we're no different from them.
No.
But going back to what Michael said, I think another sort of picture of that is not just Jesus, sort of, if you like, in the presence of the Father, pleading on our behalf like an advocate, which is one of the words they use for him in that mode. But he also brings us in there to introduce us to the Father, you know, that sort of intimate relationship. It's not that we're remote, like standing in the dock, but we're right alongside him. And he's sort of introducing us to the Father. This is our son. You know, I'm interceding for him. And I think that is one of the great things to think about when we feel lonely, we feel perhaps that people have let us down, that he's never going to let us down. And he's one with the Father, we're one with him, so we also are one with the Father through the Holy Spirit.
Well, Mike, I think we can add more than that, because Abba, the Holy Spirit, makes us cry, Abba, Father. And that is the cry of the child, Daddy. No introduction needed. It's just the word that Jesus uses. And it's extraordinary that, that's characterized. The spirit. The thing is, Paul just distinguishes in Romans 8 between the spirit of bondage and the spirit of freedom of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do we think the spirit of bondage is that Paul's talking about?
It's, I think, bound to the sinful way of life, the old way, the flesh. Because that's really through the Holy Spirit that we obtain freedom from.
Is it a description of an unbeliever or a believer?
I would actually say probably both. Because the unbeliever is definitely there, but we still have the old nature. Well, we find ourselves caught from time to time.
Whether in fact it's just the believer, because the world as a whole is not any sense of, very glad to be free of God, rather than a spirit of bondage. This is what we find the trouble with evangelism challenge is that people are very unaware of their need of God. And I think that Paul exemplifies that himself. He was fantastically one single-minded as a Pharisee, okay? Under the law, blameless, yeah? Now, things started to kick in. In fact, Jesus calls them goads to dent this confidence. And, of course, Paul reacted by being more intense against Christians and persecuting and, you know, doing all sorts of things, trying to suppress the lusts within him, because it says, you know, the commandment you should not covet sort of re-emerged and took over. And so he tried to suppress it all. Don't forget, this is the context of what he says. And I think that's all the spirit of bondage. I think that it's actually a movement of the Holy Spirit in a person, which is not saving faith, but it's making you feel desperate. Now, the world does not feel desperate for God. It might feel desperate, period, full stop, but not desperate for God. But once you begin to experience this, you have an aversion to God like you've never had before. Luther knew it. Bunyan knew it. Paul knew it. Because you have this work of the Holy Spirit, but it's the Spirit that makes you a slave to sin and your own corruption. And when, by grace and through faith, you come to really believe in Jesus and you see there's no condemnation and the burden falls off your back like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, that's when you receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. So it's a spiritual thing. And like most spiritual things, or all spiritual things, we have to come back to its reality at times and stir it up. Mm. But I'm saying to you, as you come out of lockdown, you are not an orphan. And I say it to myself as I rattle around in that house. I'm not an orphan. Mm. The Father is with me. Mm. When I go into that bedroom, I don't need to think, oh, God, if you're in there, don't move, you'll scare me to death. But that he is there with me, and that he's with me at all times, in every situation, and just apply it in your own life. I mean, this passage is so vital. It's such a vital introductory passage to the Holy Spirit for the believer. You've got to know these things. And if you've lost them or never known them, the stuff in here, I urge you to take some time out, just study these words that we've looked at this morning. Pray it through. Get your insurance, either back or there in the first place. And you'll be ready to serve him and to receive the power to go out and witness. The disciples really didn't take it on board straight away, did they? Let's face it. They all forsook him and fled, apart from John being at the cross. And in the road to Emmaus, oh, we thought he was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. Oh, really? That's the one who does redeem Israel. That's interesting. Tell me about it. And also, they watched him go up into heaven, didn't they? They watched him and they thought, oh, he's gone. Oh, the angel said, I'm standing looking up to heaven. He's coming back. Go out and witness. You've got the Holy Spirit. And we have to have a change of thought, brothers and sisters, as we move into lockdown. If we're stuck in the orphan mode of thinking, then let's get this word into our hearts. And I speak to me first of all. So the thing I'm preaching at you, as I say, well, not a sermon, it's a meditation or just going through the scriptures on stuff that really God spoke to me about this past week, and which I've discovered I was not really living into. But so you may be the same, in which case you need to have a makeover like God has to make me over. Okay? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. That's why we're doing this morning. It's great, isn't it? I think you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I mean, you know, no lockdown there. and have to wait until Boris Johnson says they can come in or anything like that.
Thank goodness for that.
Absolutely.